an anthropologist one day goes into the deep recesses of a jungle, and there he discovers a native tribe, and he spends some time with them. And one of the elements that he notices in this village is this large stone figure that is their god. And the natives come out on a regular basis, and they dance around the god, and they bow and they bend and they chant to the god. They build fires around the god. But the anthropologist realizes over time that the people, these natives, don't really believe in what they're doing. He can tell that their hearts are not really in the worship, but rather they're going through these actions. They're bowing and bending, they're chanting, they're singing, but really there's nothing in their heart. Their worship and the ritual and their motions are simply very, very rote. They're very, very empty. And obviously nothing really helps them in their life, and they have no meaning or purpose, nor sense of a greater vision, because they are simply going through these actions with no relationship to their lives. And to be sure, our call, our challenge, is that we do not just simply go through the motions of our own life, and our own ritual, and our own liturgy, but rather what happens at the Eucharistic table affects our life so powerfully that we really go forth and proclaim good news. That's a challenge of our life. There was a song many years ago, he came out with a song, Christopher West, and the song is called Going Through the Motions. And Christopher West begins, "I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. Because just okay is not enough. Help me fight through the nothingness of life. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? No regrets, not this time. I'm going to let my heart defeat my mind. Let your love make me whole. I think I'm finally feeling something." And the gospel today recognizes the necessity of drawing close to God, that all that we are, all that we are about, and being disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, is following close to that relationship that we have with God. Be salt, be light. Allow our lives to live out in such a way that this earthly plane comes to know that we are about God. And through our relationship with God and one another, we invite people to taste and see that the Lord is good. As a light in the world, men and women enable the world to see something in their very selves, something very powerful, something very holy, that we become righteous people, not for our own sake or for our own well-being, but to promote the kingdom of God, to help people be drawn out of sin and evil, that they might understand and recognize the brightness and the light of God and His compassion and His love for each and every one of us through His Son, Jesus Christ. A Christian is called to illumine the lives of one another, to let their light shine in such a way that the world glorifies God. If we are salt and light in the world today, we make something appealing about what we believe in. And we draw other people into that belief as well. That profession of faith is not merely a theology that we speak about or that we proclaim, but rather it is an invitation to a relationship to be holy as our Father in heaven is holy. That there's this ongoing transformation, this ongoing call to conversion and discipleship, that our humanity, which is blessed and sanctified by God, contradicts the conventional way of doing things, the rote way of being, of doing actions and activities and relationships in our lives, because we've always done it that way. But we are grafted into the saving death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is always that starting point for everything that we are about, everything that we believe in, and the way that we treat each other, the way that we respect each other, the way that we not only hold ourselves with a sense of dignity, but But we respect the dignity and the integrity of one another, that we look at each other differently, more differently than the world gives. Our whole worship then is in spirit and in truth. That not only do we receive the gifts that God has bestowed upon us, but we bless those gifts by our very lives. And we share those gifts with justice and love for the whole world. The readings today illumine a new way of humanity, a new way of being. We are called to be Christ-like in all that we are. And sometimes we take that phrase, being Christ-like, and we think, well, it's just being nice to people. We're just simply nice. Everything's okay. But it's not about holding hands and swaying back and forth. That the righteous person always lives a life of hope, a life of joy, that they reject sin and evil on a daily basis, that they allow their lives to be gracious and merciful, to be generous, to promote justice and peace, not to be afraid of the world or in the world, but rather to stand up strongly against temptation and sin and evil, to be ready to give to the poor. Such a person helps people understand what it means to be a member of the Christ community. And that humanity is voiced in Isaiah today, where Isaiah poses the question, who belongs? Well, the one who does the will of the Father in heaven belongs. The one who seeks God first and seeks holiness first, they are the ones that belong. And Isaiah offers this very beautiful prophetic poem today, which says that all of us are members of God's family. All of us are sheltered beneath the shadow of his wings. And as such, we recognize our brothers and sisters in a very different way, that we understand and recognize the sacredness that is bestowed upon each and every one of us. And our worship in spirit and truth causes us to respond in a very holy way as well. St. Paul will say in another one of his letters, he'll say, if you come to the Eucharistic table and receive the bread of life, then you have to act like the bread of life in the world today as well. And St. Paul will go on to say that we cannot be unkind to one another. We cannot allow ourselves not to be generous. We cannot act in ways that disrespect the body of Christ or our own bodies or the bodies of one another. They're always seeking out those good things, those holy things, those charitable things in our lives. And our capacity to act is informed by the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our call, our challenge, if you will, is not only to put on Christ, but to live always with the garment of Christ in the world today, sharing salt and light for the whole world. Last weekend, as I was going about all the different things last weekend, I noticed a young child, he was like 13, 14 years old, and he had all his Broncos gear on. He had his Broncos hat on, his Broncos jersey. He had the light blue sweats and the orange stripe down the middle. And I suspect that he was rooting for the Broncos. And that's really our own lives as well. It's not merely enough to say I belong to Jesus Christ or I love Jesus Christ, but we wear Jesus Christ boldly in the world today, that we let people know that we belong to his kingdom, we belong to his body, to his family, to his community, just by the way that we address one another, the way that we sanctify the world around us, the way we allow ourselves to respond to all things at every time, not just when it's convenient, not just when it's something that we've always done this way, but rather our whole lives give glory to God each and every moment of our lives. There was a YouTube video that I was watching the other day, and it was a tent revival, and there was a group of evangelical ministers there, and then some great singers, gospel singers as well. And I was watching this, and the part I was watching is they were singing the gospel song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Beautiful song. This one woman did an outstanding job of singing this, and I'm sure that if I pay more attention, I'd know her name and the names of the people there. But she, as she sang that, you could just see and feel the emotion in her voice. And the people there on the stage were swaying back and forth. And the people out in the audience, the hands are up, and the hands were waving as well. And people were crying, and there was this real sense of strong emotion as they were singing the song. That was not simply a Christian song or a great gospel song, but it was something that was pronounced from their hearts, from their very beings. and our whole lives as we continue to proclaim the gospel of the Lord, as we continue to proclaim the mystery of faith that we celebrate at this altar, that everything that we are about should also have that same intensity as we go forth from this place, as we pray and study Scripture, as we come to know the Word of God in our lives and make that relevant and make that evident as we continue to connect with those around us in our households, in our communities, wherever we live, and across the world as well. Our capacity to act and give, even as Jesus gave Himself to the world, we live lives that are unmistakably Christian, unmistakably Catholic, that we are called to live always as countercultural people against the stream of our society. Clearly, the Jesus community is peopled by folk with a high energy, with courage, to live beyond business as usual. Our faith, St. Paul writes, is not communicated by eloquent, high-sounding words or even worldly wisdom, but rather it is a faith that allows itself to die to oneself so as to proclaim the good news to the world. The wisdom of a crucified God and the teachings of our church illuminate the world far more brilliantly than wise sayings and ideologies which we might live our lives by.